starting problem. Should be a subject.
Shravanadi, the beginning of hearing, shuddha chitta, consciousness becomes shuddha. And when the consciousness is shuddha, Krishna prema that's within comes out. Simple metaphor Prabhupada uses is striking the match. The fire comes out just by striking the match. It's already in the match. So that striking process has the match, for the soul is here. And the potential is there equally for everyone. It's an equal opportunity program. No discrimination. No discrimination policy. Eligibility is there. One just has to hear from the right voice. So, that's Krishna's position. Super soul, Lord of the self-realized souls, worshipped by those who are beyond pretension. Gatavilika. Then, very important, I mentioned this verse last night also. Next in sequence, Triyapatir, Yagyapatir, Prajapatir. Dhyam patir, loka patir, dhara patir, patir gatis, chandakala, chandaka, drishni satvatam, pasidatam, may the Lord be pleased with me, pasidatam may Bhagavan, satam patiti, he's the Lord of satam, all devotees. So, those Gatyavanika personalities, it's Krishna's it. Same as Vasudeva Pura Veda, Vasudeva Puram, Gatyavan Vasudeva Puro Veda, Vasudeva Pura, Dharma, Vasudeva, Vasudeva, so he's everything for the Gatyavanikas. All opulence, all sacrifice. He's the leader of all the entities. Now that he's the Lord of intelligence, Dhyam Pati. He's Dhyam Pati for the non-devotees. He's Dhyam Pati for the devotees. The difference is the devotees recognize it, and the non-devotees don't recognize it. And so they're under the non-devotees are under the influence of the external energy. They're deluded into thinking they're not. And the devotees are illumined by knowing they are. And therefore they have, it's like they get a password to higher confidential information. They've been titled, they've been awarded, here's the password, and then another password, and another password. They got, like, you know, very secret information there. But it's an open secret. It's just, you know, people don't have the qualification. And so Krishna conceals. Even he openly declares it. While he openly declares it, he's still concealing it. Like Prabhupada describes, when Vyasa compiled the Vedas, he took the one Veda, the Yajurveda, divided it into four. And then, to make that accessible, he compiled the Puranas, the Smritis that explain the Smritis. And even to make it more accessible, he compiled Mahabharata. So that Sri Sudra, the Vijabandhuna, could approach it. And the condition of today is even that isn't understood. They take Bhagavad Gita, which is from Mahabharata, and it's gobbledygook. It's unrecognizable. And that's how long did it take Arjuna to understand Bhagavad Gita? However long it took for Bhagavad Gita to be spoken. Half hour, 45 minutes, and that is. That's the qualification. And scholars today, you know, lifetime, and they're still way off. So, because there's a lack of qualification, fundamentally, is their attitude toward Krishna. They've got this smug attitude, proud attitude. I am smart. I'm going to figure it out. I'm not a dependent upon Krishna, submission to Krishna, feeling themselves meek and humble before Krishna. They got the opposite. Very proud of their little pea brain, little flashlight looking for the sun. Really foolish. And so, even the easily accessible Bhagavad Gita is a mystery. So, the Lord, He's beyond fatigue. And He enlightens the heart, He illumines the potential of His devotee. And that's how the Lord does creation. He puts the most qualified person in the position of Brahma. So it's just the opposite. Literally the opposite of what modern science says. Where the firstborn living being is this little, you know, protozoa. A one-cell, you know, wiggling entity without arms and legs. Doesn't even have a tail. He's just... And the Vedic picture is the firstborn living being is the most qualified. And the Lord Dhyam Vati, He illumines His capacity because of Brahma's disposition towards the Lord. And if there isn't a person qualified to fit that position, He takes it Himself. It's such an important position. So this is, the question is, how does He do it? Through His inconceivable potencies. He's now, although it's in the form of prayers to the Lord, He is answering the question. He's gone through the background, and now He's drilling down into, creation hasn't started yet, but He's illumining, enlightening the soul of Brahma. Here's how it works. I am the Lord. You are the servant. Here's my potencies. You can use my potencies in this way. This is the plan. It's like, you know, the super professor and the super student. So then he can go out into the laboratory and do it. Laboratory of life, and here's the energies, here's the ingredients, here's the plan. Here's what it looks like when it's done. Here's the step-by-step procedure. And step-by-step procedure is not like, you know, inspiration is not painful and arduous. Inspiration is sudden. So many steps. All at once. Boom. Wow. That's inspiration. But that's what's happening here. It's how the Lord does it. Here's what Sri Krishna Goswami says, text 23. May the Lord, who in the beginning of creation amplified the potent knowledge of Brahma from within His heart, and inspired Him with full knowledge of creation and of His own self, and who appear to be generated from the mouth of Brahma, be pleased with me. The part that I like the best of this is how fixed in consciousness Shukadeva Goswami is. Because he started this whole thing by saying, my dear Lord, I'm fully dependent upon you. Please give me the capacity to express this in such a way it will be understood by Maharaj Pariksit. Be pleased to see the palm. Some may perceive the palm. May he be pleased upon me or pleased with me. So he's fixed in that consciousness and he's now disclosing how that person whom he wants to be pleased with, or who wants to be pleased with him, how Krishna, from within the heart of Brahma, he does these four things. He amplifies the potent knowledge of Brahma from within his heart. There's potential, and he brings the potential to its kinetic, to its manifest state, the avyakta, the vyakta. It's dormant, it's now manifest. What's the prompt? To take the dormant to manifest, the superset. What's the cause that prompts him? Because he can do that with anybody. It's the disposition that Brahma has towards him. According to the Bhagavatam, the post of Brahma is achieved after 100 lifetimes of perfect execution, flawless execution of Varnasrama duty. Then you're eligible for the post of Brahma. If there isn't anybody, he takes the position. One perfect, flawless execution. Try it for a day. 100 lifetimes. That's what Brahma's qualification. So, just like the verses we discussed last night, Pranashrama, Charyabha, Vishwaksena, the Vishnu Puran verse where the skills, the propensities, the God-given gifts that we have, we use them in the service, according to the quotes of the Vedas, which are given to him, and the previous verses, they are him. In fact, he's the personification of that knowledge. It's coming from him, which means it's no different than him. He's the personification. And so by Brahma's qualification in contact with Super Soul within the heart, then like the Nash ignites, or his potential knowledge manifests. And the particulars of creation is inspired. Again, this is one of the topics that I don't know if I'm doing models of inspiration. Huh?
You see them.
Okay. So, inspiration works that way. It's Super Soul. He's got the full encyclopedia of everything, and in order to serve the Lord, one can be tuned into some particular part. Even a non-devotee can be tuned into a certain part of the totality of knowledge. And boom, the steps are missing. Inspiration. And then we go into it. Including, not the only the knowledge, but the ability. And how to write it down, or how to express it, or how to do it, that also comes from the same source. The difference between the devotee and non-devotee is the devotee understands it, and therefore they and worship, the worshiper, the servant. Full knowledge of creation, full knowledge of the Lord. So like Brahma Samhita verses, that's what's being described. Before he did the creation, he expressed the Brahma Samhita verses. Before he did the creation. So how does the Lord enact creation? He zaps Brahma. He voila. He illumines Brahma. And his illumined capacity is maximum. And who appeared to be generated from the mouth of Brahma. That is, Brahma spoke the Vedas. That which illumined his heart, he then vibrated it. So that which came from Brahma's mouth is the Vedas. But that's inspired by the Lord, and from the previous verse, text 19, that is the Lord. The Vedas and the Lord are non-different. Transcendental knowledge of the Lord and the Lord are non-different. But it's inspired by the Supreme Lord. So, Brahma is a very important personality. The function that he performs, you know, prior to creation, that function that he performs of qualifying himself, receiving the inspiration, manifesting the sound vibration of that information, extremely important. But that's true for any one of the little itty bitty things that we do. We do little things. We do, you know, work with an author and go to the office, or, you know, conduct a program, or, you know, raise a family, or, you know, do some little things. Little compared to Brahma. But the same prior qualification is required. If it's going to be Krishna conscious. And if not, the Lord will illumine our intelligence with how to do it in a different way. You know, he's the Lord of intelligence of the criminal. He's the Lord of intelligence of George Bush. He's the Lord of intelligence of everybody. The mosquito. Well, how to go suck the blood. He's the Lord of intelligence of every living entity. So our opportunity in this new form of life, in the association of Srimad Bhagavatam and devotees, and is how to perfect our lives. This phrase has been used repeatedly in this chapter. Perfection. That's up there. Perfection. And that perfection is that we do each of these things in this kind of internal focus upon the personality of Godhead, just as, you know, we're getting like a really confidential inside look at how Shukadeva Goswami does what he does, and he's telling how the Lord does what he does. This is really confidential. Report. As we have already discussed here and before, the Lord is the supersoul of all living beings, from Brahma to the insignificant ant, endows all with the required knowledge, potent in every living being. In other words, the knowledge for the mosquito, how to go suck blood, or the knowledge for the, you know, the child to ride a bicycle, or, you know, whatever it is. A living being is sufficiently potent to possess knowledge from the Lord in the proportion of 50/64. There are 64 qualities of the Lord. Maximum for the living entity is 50. or up to 78% of the full knowledge of that's acquirable. Since the being is constitutionally part and parcel of the Lord, he is unable to assimilate all the knowledge that the Lord possesses himself. Our capacity is less than 100%, because we're tiny and the Lord is unable. In the conditioned stage, the living being is subject to forget everything. After a change of body, known as death, this potent knowledge is again inspired by the Lord from within the heart of every living being, and it is known as the awakening of knowledge. You know, like, go to school and learn Big Ben. You go to school and learn arithmetic, and go to school and learn whatever you learn. So, according to the piety and impiety of the living being, the good portion and no portion of the living being, they have different teachers, different, not just, you know, information givers, but teachers by example, according to the task of the living being. Therefore, one who is a devotee and may not complete his the path of perfection has these two different options that are mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. Go to a heavenly planet, hang out for a while, enjoy a whole lot, come back. And then, you know, begin where you left off. Or, better, skip that one and just take birth in a family of devotees. And take up where you left off. You know, going for a detour and getting lost in cuckoo land for a while is not necessary. Just take birth in the family of devotees and get that training. So, this, you know, this awakening of knowledge is the focus here, which is, you know, how Brahma does it, how the Lord does it with Brahma, is a clue to how we can awaken our knowledge of Krishna. This awakening of knowledge is under the full control of the Lord, and therefore we find in the practical world different kinds of knowledge in different persons. This awakening of knowledge is neither an automatic nor a material interaction. The supply, source, is the Lord Himself, beyond the key. For even Brahma is also subject to this regulation of the Supreme Creator. We go through how that happens. Born of Prabhupada Vishnu, Lord Brahma is inspired to create by the Lord, subsequent to the main creation by the Lord. So there's the, he's now explaining sarga and visarga. The Lord does a certain set of things. Brahma is born, and then he illumines Brahma, and then Brahma does the rest. We're all dependent upon this background. The problem for atheistic people, or gentler, unfortunate people, is they don't know the background. They may even a little bit of piety, have some faith that God did it. But then they're challenged by the scientists to say, how does he do it? And they give dates and they give mathematical blah blah things, and, you know, so there's God in the picture. You just, you know, whited him out. Or, you know, deleting him off the program. We got a nice explanation of how the whole thing happened without God. Where's God in the picture? Where, show me God. Atheistic world that we're living in. And they got all the gears and levers and control rods. That's what's going on. It's for devotees, it's not comfortable. It's, you know, fearful. Except, you know, Krishna's there. And Krishna's devotees know that Krishna is there. And so by serving Krishna, we can help make the spiritual world manifest here. Even the controlling personalities in our modern times are either explicit atheists or disguised atheists. So-called theists. Therefore, neither the material nature nor Brahma is independent of the Lord. That's been already stated, but worth stating again. The material scientists can merely observe the reaction of the material nature without understanding the direction behind such activities. That's the probe of the question of Maharaj Pariksit. Behind the creation is the Lord. That I know. How it happened, that I want to know more clearly. So faith says, God said, I want to understand the glories of my Lord. Then faith will become stronger, devotion will become stronger. Feeling oneself connected, even throughout all of the everyday functions of life, like our discussion last night, how to keep Krishna in the center. Even as you're going along doing, solving a little problem at your desk, you can be conscious of the fact that this ability and problem-solving capacity, and no one knows the answer, and here comes the answer, where's it coming from? You don't attribute that capacity to yourself. Feeling oneself dependent upon the Lord. Even in riding your bicycle, or even in things that you already know how to do. Like Vipadeva Swami is showing by his example. Feeling oneself dependent upon the Lord. I see Krishna in the center. He's beyond fatigue. If he checked out, you're in trouble. Big trouble. And that's this chaotic material world where indirectly or directly persons say, check out. And so chaos is giving them the check out intelligence. How to try to be controlled without God. Although it's not possible. It's chaos. And then they say everything's under control. How's everything going? Everything's under control. Right? The Vedic knowledge was, therefore, first impregnated within Brahma. And it appears that Brahma distributed the knowledge. So he spoke it. It vibrated. It's like, a receiver and a speaker. Right? You can replicate this mechanically. There's radio waves, television waves, all kinds of things, signals. Cell phone signals going zip, zip, zap, zap, zip, and all over the place. You have a receiver. And then an amplifier. And then a speaker. There's a cacophony of vibrations going on. We're just sitting here. It's just making people morning class going on. Zappo. So Brahma has the receiver and the amplifier and the speaker. But what's that with which he's receiving, amplifying, and speaking? He's manifesting that vibration which he has received that is coming from the Lord. That's what the Vedas are. Same thing that Tripitaka Swami is doing. Same thing that any one of us, if we're connected to Krishna properly, vigilant, then who gets the credit? A fool thinks, I get the credit. Brahma is undoubtedly the speaker of the Vedic knowledge, but actually, it was inspired by the Lord to receive such transcendental knowledge as it directly descends from the Lord. The Vedas are therefore called apurusheya, like purusha, apurusha, apurusheya, not inspired, not imparted by any created being, not otherworldly, beyond the limitations of the kind of being. Transcendental. Apurusheya. The Lord existed before creation. The Vedas existed. You can ask, how old are the Vedas? They're eternal. You can say different things, but they're eternal. And sometimes manifest. And to have them manifest, it requires someone with a receiver that's turned on, tuned in, the right frequency, then they can manifest. That's what the great rishis were capable of doing, and Brahma is the first amongst them. There's a gulf of difference between the two qualities of sound, prakriti and aprakriti. The physicist can only deal with the prakriti sounds, those sounds vibrated in the material sky, and therefore we must know that the Vedic sounds recorded in symbolic expressions cannot be understood by anyone within the universe unless and until one is inspired by the vibration of supernatural or aprakriti sound, which descends the chain of specific succession from the Lord to Brahma, Brahma to Narada, Narada to Vyasa, and so on. No mundane scholar can translate or reveal the true import of the Vedic mantras, hymns. They cannot be understood unless one is inspired or initiated by the authorized spiritual master, the original spiritual master is the Lord himself, and the succession comes down to the sources of Brahma, as clearly stated in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So, unless one receives the transcendental knowledge from the authorized Brahma, one should be considered useless. Oh, Prabhupada is so harsh. Useless. Vipala. Mataha. Even though one may be very greatly qualified in the mundane advancements of arts and science. Final short paragraph. Shukadeva Goswami is praying from the Lord by dint of being inspired from within by the Lord so that he could rightly explain the facts and figures of creation as inquired by Maharaj Pariksit. The spiritual master is not a theoretical speculator like a mundane scholar, but a Shokhiyam Brahmanishtam. End of purport. Now, in one sense, Krishna doesn't need this whole elaborate system. Krishna can just go, and there it is. But how it happens is Krishna likes to engage and reciprocate with his devotees, fortunately for us. And so Brahma being one such devotee, he gives him the service. And then Brahma distributes the service to others too, and he has the japatis and so forth. But that's our Lord. He likes to give his devotees some service to do. And Brahma Samhita is described like that. As he was enjoying with the Mahavishnu, was enjoying with Rama Devi, he sees the shadow of Rama Devi just like hanging out, doing with nothing to do, and feeling compassionate towards her, knowing that she wants something to do, he gives her something to do. Manifest the material world. And he empowers her to do so just by his glance. Just by glancing upon her. How glance. Then the whole cosmic manifestation starts to happen. Because he glances and he wants to give. A reflection of his internal potency, something to do. But she's very happy. She has something to do. And then Brahma's very happy, he has something to do. And everybody that likes devotional service is happy because then we have something to do. And that something to do can help rectify this attitude problem that we have. It says, for me. Okay, so to be continued. Process of creation. Discussion?
No. So, knowing that Lord Krishna is the sustainer and the knowledge leader and everything. And we are here in this material machine running after this and this and that. It gives us a permission to step out of it and just dedicate ourselves to worship Krishna and don't care how the things are run. Without negative consequences.
Well, then we have to respond to that. Let us look and see what the Lord says about that. What did Krishna say to Arjuna?
Yeah, but I didn't mean in terms of avoiding my responsibility.
Yeah.
Just taking out the burden of the final outcome.
Yeah.
In terms of, okay, yeah. I do okay. What belongs to me.
The execution of duty, you must do. Taking the responsibility for the outcome, that's Krishna. Our department is service department. Krishna's department is the controlling department.
And this is a huge difference.
Oh, yeah.
And this is, I'm talking from practical application of it, because, let's say going for Harina or Gopis to do. If I think, how am I going to do it? And what about this? What about this? All those concerns will bring back home, will not allow me, will paralyze me. But if I think, hey, I have books or we go for Harina, and I just change. And that's all I have to do. Just change. And whatever happens, happens. And put things.
Now, with these, the second paradigm that you described, one can also use one's intelligence that Krishna has given one to serve him nicely. Okay, well, where will we go in Harinam? What instrument should we take? Who should be the singers? We'll orchestrate according to the intelligence that Krishna gives you. But hey, Krishna gives me this much instead of that much intelligence. That's his department.
We went for Harinam last week from the town. It was nice, but I think that by giving some intelligence from Lord Krishna, I think things could be improved. Who is, like you said, who is singing, how we sing, how we look like, and so on. Just to make feel more attractive.
Yeah. But then, whether that happens or doesn't happen, that's up to Krishna. Even, so when we have these interpersonal things where, somebody in the group says, we should go from noon to 3. And somebody else says, I think, 11 to 2. I think, no, whatever. So then we have that dynamic that goes on. Yeah.
One part of my question is that what is the difference between being an inspiration and sanctioning consciousness?
It's just a difference of the receptivity. I mean, inspiration is inspiration. So inspiration may be something on the material side or on the spiritual side, but inspiration is inspiration. For the birds to fly south, for the fish to swim upstream, for the whatever it is, the newborn calf to come and take milk from the mother. Well, they didn't go to calf school. they just know it's inspiration. Instructions, not Lord's inspiration, Lord's instructions. So the first quantum step to take is with service, like this point that Sanjaya was making. We're not controllers. That's not, you know, that's Krishna's department. We're constitutionally servants. From a spiritual perspective, eternally, doesn't matter who, what, where, when, how, or why. We're eternally servants of Krishna. That's our identity. So come to that position. Then comes how to. What's most suited for me, what's appropriate for me to express that position of service. So then we moderate or we adjust that mood of service, constitutional position of service, according to different kinds of considerations, starting with theistic ones and some personal ones and some interpersonal ones. But that's not who we are. We are the eternal servant. We moderate, adjust according to different kinds of considerations. So, to get to the position of spiritual inspiration, it's we're servants, Krishna is the master. Then our inspirations can be spiritually centered, spiritually based. More on that? Sure, we do it all the time, and we should do that. You're married, so you have a role as a wife. That's not who you are. It's not your eternal identity. But you moderate the spirit of service according to the position. It's an upadhi. It's not who you are. Still, you manifest the mood of service appropriate for your position. So you learn what that is. And you do that, knowing because it's theistic, Krishna be pleased. Etc. When you go to the program, you do certain XYZ behaviors. You don't do some other ones because it's appropriate. You moderate your mood of service to please Krishna according to circumstances. You ask for moderate. It's to be done. And that's part of our desire to please Krishna. It's not in the spiritual side, it's not so that we'll win followers or, you know, whatever else. It's the place Krishna. And that's the spiritual dimension. So people won't think of the area, or they will be socially acceptable. Those things are subsets of the higher things. And even if people think otherwise, our Prabhupada made this very clear. Our business is just to please Krishna. Like, you know, I'm thinking specifically of how we dress. He was advised, Swamiji, when you come to America, you can't dress like this. People will think it's strange. He wasn't ready to compromise because people would think it's strange. Who wants to please Krishna? Now, what's the standard for pleasing Krishna? Maybe pleasing Krishna would be have more people accept you because what's not important is what you look like, what's important is who you are. And he wasn't ready to compromise. So he's our achar, you just follow that. Yes, we make considerations of how to modify or direct our service propensities.
In the assembly of devotees, it seems like everyone is inspired in a very different way.
Yeah, that's one of our challenges.
So sometimes I may not appreciate that the Lord is inspiring everyone in different ways so that they can enter some service. Sometimes I also see the need to I'm confused how to act in a way that enhances the service of others rather than something that others do that could harm them. So, striking the balance.
Well, the first, in getting the outcome that you're hoping for, the first step is to have that desire. The strongest impetus for that desire is about expression or instruction. The love for me will be shown by how much you cooperate with one another after I'm gone. So based on love for our founder Acharya, although I may not be able to fill in the blank, the purpose is I want to please Prabhupada, therefore I want to learn how to cooperate. Now how to do that is not clear to me. But that blank will be filled in by the apathy progressively. It's okay if the blank isn't filled in at a particular juncture of time. If the spirit, the willingness is there, you know, he'll take care of that. That's the faith of the world. You know, we may say, hurry up. Come on, Krishna. And, you know, the shortcoming is not over on that side, it's on our side. to have it, you know, have our deceiver tuned in. Because quite often it's, you know, our false ego is higher than it used to be.
You spoke about in the case of Brahma, or Brahma, there is this qualification, and then when it comes in contact with the super soul, the super soul potential, the latent potential manifests. In my own case, I'm thinking that it appears to me that more and more clearly that even the qualification is coming. Not by my own effort, but just by being in association with the yogis, even sincere people.
Well, both are required. The 2 inches too short. It's both effort and mercy. Mother Jasoda didn't bind Krishna, just, you know, meditating on it. She was making an effort. And then mercy. So, both. Krishna empowers. Once Prabhupada was asked, there's this expression, God helps those that help themselves. And then there's another expression, something else I forget, that says, we're fully dependent upon Krishna. So it sounds contradictory. Paul said it's not contradictory. It's this effort of mercy. We're dependent upon Krishna, and we also make an effort. But our effort should be not egoistic or kartahabhiti, one would say. Our effort should be my constitution of the servant of Krishna. I want to please Krishna. Because I want to please Krishna, I need to make an effort. But on my own, without it. So, I need some mercy. So we have our mercy receiving vessels ready. And even while we're talking about making something better. Yeah.
So, continuing on the same topic. So I believe the most important thing is, like you said, is to tune in our efforts to align whatever we want to do with Krishna's, to make it to kind of listen to our heart and the guidance from you and Srila Prabhupada when we act to achieve the best result is to consider what we want to do and what we should do.
Yes.
What is my desire to
do? The key is, it starts with thinking ourselves not as dependent. So if we're dependent upon Krishna, that's Krishna says, he who thinks he's my devotee is not my devotee. So, feeling oneself dependent, you know, the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. That's tuned in. So we take our indications that way while we're endeavoring. And strive, part of our striving is to strive to stay tuned in. And my comment about Shukadeva Goswami is he's tuned in. He's even as he's performing the task that he was asked to do, he's tuned in. He doesn't like skip a beat. Okay, tune in, then check out and perform. He's tuned in and tuned in and tuned in and tuned in. He's nonstop. Feeling himself dependent. And endeavoring at the same time. When I give this leadership thing, it's going to say the same thing. And language that people can understand. As well, if they're paying attention.